think about Tom Brady right now. I think even to this day, he still suffers from the stigma of being drafted where he was drafted.
Yeah.
Where you at now, Bill?
Players are important.
Right? Yep. Where you at?
Brett Favre? Aaron Rodgers? Jordan Love?
Mm-hmm.
This could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Can anybody beat the San Francisco 49ers when they're performing at their best?
I don't think so.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for listening and being a part of this journey with us. We look forward to this every week because we get to have a good time with y'all. And we also get to have a great time in our lazy boy chairs, to be honest.
Yes.
I enjoy sitting in the original recliner brand. It's the original.
Yep.
I grew up with lazy boy.
It's the lazy boy.
Yeah.
This isn't a recliner, it's a lazy boy.
It's a lazy boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fact, OC. Mm-hmm. Fact, OC. And they're always big on comfort. And you can learn more at www.la-z-boy.co.uk. And please order one because it is fly. That being said, OC, you are looking fly today. Usually, you are on your way to play a little football.
Soccer.
Yeah. But today you have another class.
Boxing.
Yeah. Boxing class. So you're able to change up your look.
Yeah.
Going to box. You know what? You look like a boxer going to fight. Because boxers, just like now, how we go to the game.
Yeah.
Boxers are going looking fly.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that the most violent sports,
mm-hmm.
man, you look so fresh going into that battle.
Because you want to like trick people. You're like, yeah, I'm not a violent guy. Look at me. I'm dressed nice.
Look at this.
And then you go out there.
And swinging for the fences.
Straight up battle.
Man, you look at guys going in this week, man, and stuff they were wearing. Mm. I should have known San Fran was going to beat the dog out of Philly when all the players had all black on going to the game.
Oh, did they? I didn't even see that.
Bro, they were wearing black.
Oh, man.
Toe to toe.
Big trouble.
A bunch of them footed.
Big trouble.
Deebo Samuels had black Air Force One cleats on when he warmed up.
Wow. Big trouble. Big trouble. Big trouble. Somebody got on the Air Force Ones.
The it's all like black boy. Air Force Ones? Yeah. If you ever get in an argument with somebody, say you getting, you know, people jump out of their cars out here or whatever, your neighbor, if they have black Air Force Ones on, be real cool.
Because
they're on the edge that day. You know what I'm saying? So be like, hey, listen, is everything all right? Look down first.
Yeah.
Black Air Force Ones?
No,
I'm chilling.
Yeah.
Because it gives you extra strength, I think.
Yeah. It's something about the your frame of mind, depending on the shoes you wear. Yeah, it really is. I remember my boy Plax, Plaxico. Plax,
shout out to Plax.
Yeah, shout out to Plax. Plax, he used to sit next to me, right?
All the stars in one area.
And so whenever there were these particular shoes I would wear, right? They were like, I mean, busted. I'm talking about like cleats. Broke down, busted.
Not the gold cleats?
No, not the gold ones. Man. Broke down, busted, but they were very, very, like, comfortable.
Uh-huh.
And anytime I put them on, Plax would be like, oh, man, don't worry. He's about to go to work today. He's going to work today. He doesn't care about what he looks like. He's got on those cleats.
He knew,
somebody's
he knew it was
in
go
trouble.
Time.
Somebody's in trouble today. He would always say it, man. And it was crazy.
Hey, man, shoes matter. Shoes matter. And it's true, man. If you're ready... You used to wear those gold cleats before the game, and you would start.
That was for intimidation.
Your get-offs,
yeah.
And you would have your towel, and you would flip the towel, and you'd be like, see this J. Bell? I was like, oh, he is going to hunt.
That was for intimidation. But when I wore those other ones, that means I meant real business because I didn't care what I looked like.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this week, and I was thinking about conversations we've had and how we feel about things. And we always try to tie it into what's happening into the broader society. And I thought about the MVP conversation.
Okay.
Okay, because that's, I mean, where we are. Everybody loves to discuss it. And we should because it's huge. If you are in the conversation, it's good for you. It's good for your team, obviously. It should be discussed. But the names we usually throw out there are always the quarterbacks on the winning teams or someone who is just playing at a ridiculous level. So Tyreek Hill, if he wasn't a receiver, would be the front runner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is blowing it out of the water. I mean, he's on a pace to 2,000 receiving yards in the last
time, 16 games, too.
Yeah, crazy.
Not 17, 16, yeah.
Would hit 2016, good point. The last person who did that was Adrian Peterson at the running back position, who won MVP.
When
he was with the Vikings. So, precedence was set. This could happen. But I was thinking back to a conversation we had a long time ago we need to revisit, and it was about Brock Purdy. Mm-hmm. And it was how you were telling me, if Jay Bell, you didn't have this bias about his draft status or people, wouldn't we be considering him this great or the best or an MVP? And we went back and forth, and I talked about it being Christian McCaffrey, which I still believe is the driver of this team. I love it. But you're right. If, because it's the quarterback position, if we didn't have this thought of him, if he was their first pick, if he was the chosen one, wouldn't he be conversation?
There'd be no equivocation about who the MVP front runner is right
at this
now.
Point.
That you wouldn't have any, you'd be like, oh, it's this guy.
Yeah,
right?
It's the best team, the best offense, can't stop him, looks great, play caller, playmakers.
Has the highest quarterback rating, making the most plays. He's going above and beyond everything you would want from a quarterback, right?
He's that dude.
He's that guy. But because he was drafted as Mr. Irrelevant as the last pick, right? Everybody carries that subconscious bias with them, and they don't want to give this man his fly. And here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? We all, to some level, understand what that's like.
Yeah. We can be real about this.
Right?
Yeah.
But then a lot of people who understand what it's like because it's been done to them still will carry that same bias against him.
Me. I did it.
I had to look at that particular situation, right? Because I was doing the same thing. I was like, But then I was like, wait a minute. If this guy was even the 10th pick in the draft, we'd be all up in arms. We'd be like, yeah, Brock Purdy's the guy, blah, 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 blah. But to your point, and you made this point the last time, right? So many people would have to be wrong and have to admit that they're wrong, and they do not want to do it.
No.
They don't want to do it.
Everybody wants their security, whether it's job security, status, right, which is your job, but where you are in the hierarchy of decision making, and this would challenge all of that.
Jay Bell, you're gonna love this one. Shout out to all our presenters.
Shout out to everybody.
Shout out to all of them. We love them.
Yeah,
they've done a great job.
Oh, the ones we've worked with. Yeah, we've been lucky.
When we've had the opportunity, what have we done?
Bald.
But still,
no one wants to give us our opportunity.
Like, well,
it's true.
Because we were athletes.
Yeah, so they can't be.
Can't do it.
That's one thing about that I look at. I mean, you have your people. I think it's happening more. You know, it happened with Lineker, and it's happened like Alex Scott. And there's other people now that are becoming presenters, right, in this country. And when I first got here, because, you know, we see it happen, I think, more in the States, maybe.
Athletes turn presenters?
Yeah. No,
like
you
never see it. Yeah.
You don't really see it. Everybody wants to protect the profession. I get it, man. We got to eat. And one thing, when I went into finance, man, the heat I used to get from people. I'd be at these conferences. Oh, see, the way they used to talk to me. My eldest partner, who is now retired, would like tap on my arm, and he broke it down to me. He's like, just relax. He was like, they're so mad that you're doing this. They, because you were a pro athlete, now you're doing their thing. And they're mad. Just smile. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, understand what that is. And you're absolutely right. Like, people want you to be as good as they want you to be.
Yep.
Because they chose you to be that good.
They want you to fit into what they
think. Into their box. If you don't fit into their box or what they think, they have a problem. And we have conversations where we might see something and we might especially me, I might see something and think one way, and you challenge me to where that fits. And then we talk it through. I'm like, oh, I just have a problem because I don't think it belongs there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my problem.
Yeah.
That's not the problem.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're seeing with Purdy. I mean, I was listening to Tom Brady talk about something, and he was talking about his college experience, and, you know, they pulled him in and out of the lineup. It was a battle.
Mm-hmm.
I think he even talked about even high school. Like, the man has always been on a razor's edge on preparation, get, you know, the challenges, his opponent either trying to get a position or who you're playing. And he said it took a lot of the fun out, you know, of college, but he was on it, right? Mm-hmm. He was sacrificing in a different way. I say all this because when that is ingrained in your DNA and you can never turn that off, when mm-hmm. you do become elite,
mm-hmm.
when you do have that status, it does push you forward.
Mm-hmm.
It puts you in a position to stay successful because that is your core being.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is going to help Purdy. I look at my career and I think if I would have not got hurt in college, I was a top 10 corner going into my junior year. If I don't get hurt, who knows where I get drafted, mm-hmm. right? I'm the same dude, but I was hungry because I had to make it, bro.
Yeah.
Because I had that injury. Like, I had to fight. And that was my entire career. And that is who I am outside of football, too. Do you think this helps Purdy or people like him?
No, it does. But even think about Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Right? Think about Tom Brady right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think even to this day, he still suffers from the stigma of being drafted where he was drafted.
Yeah.
He still does.
I think you're right. That's what people talk about. It's like, oh, the sixth round pick. Why does that even, he's just great.
He's the best quarterback to have ever played,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But I think subconsciously, a lot of people still don't even think that. I think a lot of people would probably still say, Joe Montana.
Right.
This guy, that guy, whoever, Peyton Manning, they'll still say it.
You know, Joe was kind of in that situation too.
Third round pick,
too short, too this, too skinny.
They will still hold on to the fact, Bill Belichick,
yeah,
his coach with him for this long,
yeah,
for that long,
yeah.
bro,
yeah,
in his same building,
yeah.
Still,
mm-hmm.
Now we'll find another. Where you at now, Bill?
Yeah.
Huh?
Players are important.
Where you at now, Bill?
Players are important.
Right?
Yep.
Where you at?
Yeah.
They still held on to that. He thought it was him.
Well, that's a good point because that culture over there and the way it's implemented, the temperature of that place, mm-hmm. right, works because you can have it on freezing cold and your quarterback just puts a hoodie on. Puts a jacket on
because
he used to come at Tom Brady hard and everybody was checked. Are they talking to OC like this? Well, I better chill out.
Mm. But my point is the guy who they won all these championships together, right?
Is not doing it.
He still didn't value Brady. He still didn't value this man's ability.
Not enough.
He still didn't do it.
He went and won a Super Bowl in Tampa. So, yeah.
And to me, that it's fascinating. And we keep doing this. We do this in other professions.
Yeah.
We do this over and over again. And it's happening now with Purdy. And I think people should take a critical look at the way we evaluate people.
Yeah.
And if somebody shows clearly that they can do this, don't hold on to your preconceived notion about this particular person.
Yeah.
No, they've shown they can do this. Give them their respect.
Absolutely right. And in reverse, you see it when people have those monikers, those titles, and they're supposed to be able, and they don't.
Mm.
And they continue not to produce, and you continue to give them chances.
Give them opportunity.
And next thing you know, the building's burned down, and you like, but he said he could wire it. He said he set all the alarms. And it's like, remember the first one didn't work? Remember the last one, the third, fourth, fifth? But you kept allowing this person because you thought
he had the credentials.
Because you chose him.
It's crazy.
That is crazy. It makes me think about leadership and how leadership's hard, it's difficult.
Mm.
And we were talking before about how leaders need to have vision and patience and then block out the noise, right? And you have to block out noise and stand by your decisions because the noise reacts quickly. First thing I learned in finance was Mr. Market. Mr. Market will change his mind every day. Mm. He's going to say, that sweater's worth this today, and literally come back the next day knocking on your door begging for it for another price. You'd be like, but you said this yesterday. He changes his mind like the wind changes direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the noise. Noise, noise, noise. And in finance, one thing that can happen to you really quick is if you start to move your money with the noise, you will lose.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You will lose if you start to react to noise. What they say, long-term investments.
Yes,
just
sir.
Sit there. Just ride it out. People won't ride out their decisions because of the noise. And I was thinking about that because when you look at what's happening in Green Bay, big win, right? Big win by the Packers. You look at Jordan Love, the way he's playing. You look at LaFleur, their head coach. Man, people were chirping. Mm-hmm. Is this the right thing? Is this wrong? Should we move on? Is this the coach? Is this the quarterback? LaFleur had to be one way because he had a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Mm.
He adjusted to that, as you should, to your point earlier. Know who you got in the building.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come in here trying to blow it all up. But now you can be you. Implement your style, your strategy, have patience, have belief, and the people around you need to do that also for you to go out and have a win like they just did and be in a situation where are they the luckiest team ever if Jordan Love becomes a 10-year quarterback?
Mm.
Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love?
Mm-hmm.
This could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And this team doesn't have an owner.
I think there's a lot of truth in everything that you just said. You're 100% correct on it. What do they all have in common?
What do all...
Green Bay, all those quarterbacks, what do they have in common?
What do they have in common?
Let me tell you.
Please.
So Favre goes there.
Yeah.
Right?
I know what you're going to say. Go ahead. Yeah. He was a castaway. He's from Atlanta.
Boom, right?
Yeah.
So he goes there. Boom.
Don Majkowski was a starter. He had to come on. Osi. Yeah.
He rides it out.
Yeah.
Green Bay drafts Aaron Rodgers.
He's set for how many years?
Set now for 3 years.
Ooh.
Behind.
So I don't care. And he was last one in the draft, too. He was already mad. He already had that edge to him. Okay, Osi. Okay.
3 years set him down.
Okay.
Watching, learning, getting ready, performing. Ready? You ready? Go in. Ball. They draft Jordan Love. Oh, why they blah, blah. Yeah. What do you do? Sit down behind an MVP player. How many years? Three. Sit there watching, learning. They put him in. Boom. After a couple of days, a couple of weeks, he gets his legs up underneath him. Now you see him performing, right? So it's like
apprenticeship.
Period.
That's one thing I love about this country is that they have that. Like in America, apprenticeships don't really kind of exist anymore.
So this is a team, right? Like you said, with no owner, because the impetuousness of it, owner's every whim, you know.
It's the noise. Noise is real.
They'll sit there with a long-term view of how to do things, and they have real football people there, like real football people. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at how they build their teams, their O-lines, their D-lines, their receivers. Everything is in-house, drafted, built up. Everything is like...
Back in the day, they would never go get free agents, remember?
They wouldn't sign free agents.
It was all homegrown.
And they have like a template for longevity, for success. And it's playing... the thing that I don't understand about people is, right, how you can watch something happen in front of you over and over and over again, high level of success, and be like, nah, I'm going to. When I first got to New York, right, and I saw Strahan, I couldn't understand how defensive ends would go into the building and not follow this. I couldn't.
There's your roadmap.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
Do what he does.
Just do what he does.
Period.
Just do what he does.
It is that easy. It really is that easy.
You know what I mean?
You have 53 people that you could follow.
This one right here, this is a Hall of Fame player. Just go sit next to him and watch him.
How does he handle himself? I did that with Darren Woodson when I was in in Dallas, and then Aaron Glenn when I was in Houston. I bought my suits the way Darren Woodson did. Yeah. I was like, oh, he's got this kind of color scheme because, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's everywhere, man. It's in every industry.
Every industry.
It's when I first started here, because you had this kind of gift, I followed you, I watched you, and it was obvious because of our relationship, you know, and you helped me and whatever. But then we had the likes. Go back to you talk about our presenters. Mm. We started with Mark Chapman.
Mm.
That man has been working for how long?
Yep.
All we had to do was watch
just
Mark.
Watch. Dan.
Mark, Dan, Laura, and now Craig. You learn something from everybody.
I don't understand how teams can watch what is obviously successful and not emulate it. You know better.
Or the fans are yelling and people
they know better.
Writing up stories. You know better. I'm in this building every day. You wrote this article and you know better. You're just cool. So much smarter. Cool. I need to listen to you. You're absolutely right. But yet, in this building, you know, it's our boy Antonio Pierce, man. This is why he's going to be a head coach. He's going to be successful. And then I want to transition to what you got to talk about, is that he is exactly what you are. Mm. He goes into a building. He learns from everybody. Mm. He respects. Everybody's opinion matters. He is going to do what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to take in all the relevant information and say, well, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Or you want to try this? Okay. I've seen you do that, man. We've had one way to go. We're thinking one way. One person throws us out and you'll be like, that's a good idea. You know what? Let's do that. And you'd be like, all right.
I think we should probably go in on that still.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll save the other thing for another time. It's so fascinating.
Yep.
I was sitting here and I was planning this NFL Africa thing, mm-hmm. right? So we're planning it. We're in the planning stages.
Mm-hmm.
And for like, I'll say a month and a half, I've held to this particular format that I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, this is what I want to do.
Right? Got it.
Boom, yep. Boom, boom, boom. We're gonna, it makes sense.
I've ran through it 100 times in my head.
100 times in my head. We're on a call 2 weeks ago. And Chris Durham, shout out to Chris.
Yep, Chris, a good dude.
Yeah. He says, oh, I was having this conversation with this academy,
mm-hmm.
And they mentioned something about, blah, 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 blah. What do you think about that? I was like, huh. Jason, it couldn't have been 15 seconds. Couldn't have been. I abandoned
everything
that I had thought through for a month and a half. Uh-huh. I abandoned it
uh-huh.
right away because of what Chris said. Because his plan and his idea was better, right? Now, he probably didn't know
that you had spent all that time.
I had spent all this
yeah.
time
yeah.
thinking about this yeah. particular. I swear to you, Jason, it took less than 15 seconds
and you were
to
like,
abandon that to go to this. And now, this is what we're doing now.
That's why we love this game, because that's what you got to do on the field in a game.
Mm.
The best teams, the best players, you got a plan, you've scoped it out all week, and then the game happens.
Yeah, and you got everything changes.
You like, we thought we were going to do this, but yeah. now they doing this.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think they were going to run all game at me. I've been so, oh, they're doubling me? Oh, they're doing this?
Mm.
Oh, I got to adjust. I'm prepared because I've done whatever I had to do, but boom.
Yeah. So finally, the question was asked. We've seen Philadelphia Eagles,
yep.
seen the San Francisco 49ers, we've seen the Dallas Cowboys, we've seen all these teams.
Yep.
Can anybody, when they're performing at their best, can anybody beat the San Francisco 49ers when they're performing at their best?
I don't think so.
Doesn't seem like it, does it?
I was really upset when Hufanga got hurt. Mm-hmm. I really liked, you know, the safety for San Fran and what he could do. But when you look at this team, let's just on defense, playmakers on every level.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a new defensive coordinator who has experience, but these guys set the tone, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got the culture, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I like when you're built around a defensive line that can dominate and take over games and wants to,
mm-hmm.
right? You basically, they got a formula. Oh, we got a problem? Go get D linemen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. oh, we got a problem? Get more of these boys. So let's leave that to one side. And I love Treverius Ward, their corner. He can shut down a guy. You need a guy like that.
Mm.
On offense, this team Kyle Shanahan's offense, I've never seen something so unique and interchangeable.
Mm-hmm.
When you have players that do the same thing that are at different positions, what are we looking for on defense? Tells.
Mm.
How do you line up? Who's where, right? That tells us plays. Mm. This guy does this. They do it all. Deebo Samuels,
mm-hmm.
Christian McCaffrey can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They can do the same thing, a little different, but you could put McCaffrey in the slot and he can get loose.
Mm.
You can put Deebo in the backfield. You can motion him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Juszczyk, the fullback, and Kittle can do the same thing.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, just so you get no tails. And then you got the mad scientist back there,
mm.
right? I'm not even getting to Purdy yet, but you got the mad scientist, Kyle Shanahan,
mm.
when the game's going on, the way, to your point about what we talked about adjusting,
mm.
when he figures out this is what they're doing, he attacks your rules because what we were talking about earlier, he's done so much digging.
Yep.
Since he was a baby, he's done so much digging on your rules on defense. He talked about when he was an assistant, when he was working for his dad, and he would sit in with the defensive coordinators to learn what they're teaching the players. OC, mm-hmm. okay, if you're here, this is the leverage. And all he's doing is chipping at that.
Mm.
He's scratching at it. And Brock Purdy is the perfect asset for
mm-hmm.
him. He is the dude. Can identify, process, and deliver.
Yep. He can do it.
How you going to beat him?
It's, you know.
You don't know whose day it is, OC.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I got excited.
No, it's fine. You know something that is starting to bother me when they talk about San Francisco, right?
Mm-hmm.
They talk about how this team is the most talented team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're the most talented team mm-hmm. in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I look at their roster, and I'm not sure they're the most talented team.
Okay.
In the NFL.
Okay.
You can't tell me that
talent's everywhere in the NFL.
You can't tell me that Kyle Shanahan, if he was the head coach of the Cowboys,
mm-hmm.
with those players,
they'd be balling. That offense would be balling.
Say he was the head coach of the Eagles.
Offense would be balling.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you look at...
The offense would be balling.
There's teams in the AFC. Say he was the coach of the Dolphins.
You're seeing what McDaniels is doing there already. It's the same.
You know what I mean? So don't just say, don't chalk it up to, oh, they're the most talented football team. Bro, you have to give credits where credit is due.
Their talent's being utilized.
Level. Their talent is being utilized to the highest extent.
No doubt.
That's what makes this team special.
Yep.
You have a great offensive coach, right?
Yep.
A great coach in general, and he is maximizing the talent of these players.
What
makes them such a special team. Yep. Don't just chalk it up to the talent of the football team.
Absolutely right. Putting them in a position to be successful, taking their talent and designing plays and concepts that allows it to shine.
And this is what a lot of coaches don't do. They can't do it.
Because they're in love with their story.
With them.
Their book. These are my plays. Instead of, these are the players. Back to everything we've been talking about.
Yep.
Man, if we could just make it about others, we might all win.
We'll succeed.
We succeed. That being said, go to Boxing Looking Fresh. Okay. Get a good sweat in. Let them know who you are. Hey, man, thank you for everybody that listens. Hey, man, give us a like, all that kind of stuff. Share us, download us, all the good stuff, man. Keep it coming. Keep us on these airwaves because I'm telling you, man, people like you is why we do this, man. So thank you very much. Till next time.